Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We have a theme for the year, 2020 vision. In the year 2020, we want people to see God clearly with 2020 vision. We want people to know that the God we worship is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it is our God who wants us as his followers to be seen by others clearly as Christians. And so we have a series that we started after Easter called Vision from the Mount. It's a series based upon the greatest sermon ever preached. And that sermon was preached by Jesus, where he kind of turned things upside down. When he came into Jerusalem, remember, he went into the temple, he turned the tables over in the temple. Well, here he kind of turns the teachings upside down and over of the Pharisees and the scribes, who were teaching self-righteousness. The Pharisees were proud. They were arrogant. They saw themselves right next to God. And people looked at them that way. But Jesus kind of turns that all upside down. And his message, which drew so many people, was about mercy, about humility, about peace. His message was about those blessings by the people. He doesn't say the Pharisees and the scribes are the salt and the light of the world, the change agents of the world. No, he looks at the people and he says, you are the salt and the light of the world. And he was saying, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Now you know why the Pharisees and the scribes wanted to crucify Jesus, because he was teaching something different, something radical, that the people were the blessings and the change agents in our world. And he was speaking about a different righteousness other than self-righteousness, a righteousness that comes from God. And I'll share that a little bit later in my message. Well, today we pick up the message where Jesus speaks about not only lust and marriage, but also gives us a clear picture of divorce. Let's take another look at the words of Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew 5, once again, beginning with verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. This was something people knew. This was part of the moral law, the Ten Commandments that God wrote with his own hand on stone. We call it the Sixth Commandment. Don't commit adultery. You see, the people, along with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were kind of laughing at marriage, making a mockery of marriage. And Jesus was teaching that you should take marriage very serious, because it's something that God gave to us. Did you hear about the father and the son who were working together, and the son asked him a question about marriage? He said, Father, is it true that in some countries you do not know your wife until you marry her. And his father thought about that and said, yes, that is true, but I also want you to know it's true everywhere. You really don't know somebody until you spend time with them, you live with them, and you marry them. Well, his son then asked the question, said, well, Dad, can you give me a lesson so that someday if I marry, I at least know a woman or try to understand a woman? He goes, oh, son, I can give you one of the most valuable lessons about marriage in 15 seconds. He goes, you can teach me about what it's like to be married to a woman in 15 seconds? And his father said, I sure can. He said, set your watch for 15 seconds. He said, okay, Dad. And the son took his watch and said, you tell me ready. And he, all right, hit the button. He looked at his son and said, leave me alone. Get away from me. And his son looked at his dad and said, and he started walking away. 5 seconds later, his father said, sweetie, why are you ignoring me? And then he said, end of lesson. Beep, 15 seconds, the watch beep. He said, end of lesson. Have you ever heard this? Love is blind. Well, if love is blind, then marriage is an eye-opener. Today, it is Jesus who really opens up our eyes to the proper understanding that God wants us to have and the vision of not only marriage, not only adultery, but also divorce. Let's take a look at the words of Jesus. Now, you've heard it said, you should not commit adultery. Everybody agrees. Verse 28. But I say to you, now, Jesus said, but I say to you, I'm sure the people said, well, who are you? The originator of marriage. The gift of marriage comes from God. Nowheres do you find how we got marriage except in the Bible, where God brought a man and a woman together and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one. But I say to you, Jesus says, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Starry eyes, lust, fantasy, heart, reality. That's the message for today. It is, you know, I'm going to say this about Dr. Spomer. You know, he's the one who set up the sermon schedule, and we knew these titles a year in advance, and he put together the April and May schedule, and I've got a feeling he might have did something like this. Oh, yeah, last week in May, murder, oh, I'll take that. Oh, lust, adultery, divorce, I'll let Pastor Dreyer tackle that one. Good luck. Yeah, I don't know if that's how it went, but I have this message to bring to you. Thanks to Dr. Spomer. He could have done it just as well. Starry eyes. Lust, fantasy. Heart reality. You see, it's not the first look that gets you in trouble. It's the second look, the third look. It's not the acknowledging and seeing somebody. It's acknowledging and seeing somebody and then taking that second look and gazing. And what happens is that turns into lust. And that lust turns into a sin, because Jesus deals with the heart of the issue. The heart. Just like the mouth, last week we learned, speaks from the overflow of the heart. Jesus is trying to explain here, as he does in other words when he's preaching. He talks about how the eyes are the window to the heart. And if the eyes are looking at good things, then the body is good. But if the eyes are looking at bad things, then the body becomes bad. He gets to the heart of the matter. Somebody might be saying, well, it's just a glance. It's just a second or third look. What can that hurt? Let's ask King David that. While his army was out fighting, he was on his balcony and he was looking and he saw Bathsheba. And his starry eyes turned to lustful fantasy. And the heart reality was it led to sin. You see, it is the devil who says it can't hurt. Nobody's looking. Take as long a look as you want. But it's the Holy Spirit that whispers in your ear, no, stop it. Don't take the second or third look. Quit glancing. It's going to turn to sin and it's going to cause all kinds of problems. It'll turn not only to sin, but it'll turn to divorce. It'll turn into suffering. And in King David's case, not only adultery, but then to murder, then public humiliation. It's not worth it, the Holy Spirit will say in our ears. He'll say, take a look at the future. Stop it. And you've got to do something radical. You see, Jesus wants his followers to be radical when it comes to the things of the world. If the doctor came to you and said, listen, you got cancer in your right eye, but we have a cure. If you do nothing, the cancer will go to your left eye and you'll be blind in both eyes. Then your body will be full of cancer and you will die. Can you imagine saying to that doctor, no, I want my eye. Leave it alone. I'll be okay. It can't hurt me. That'd be foolish. No, you got to do something radical when you have cancer. Well, now you understand the words of Jesus. When it comes to the sin of sinning with your eyes or your hands, you got to do something radical. Listen to his words. Verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Well, if your right eye causes you sin, your left eye is doing the same thing. A blind man can sin just as well as somebody who can see. Jesus is just using hyperbole here. He's just saying, listen, you've got to be radical. Rip it out of your life. If there's something that you're looking at, stop looking at it. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go to hell. Jesus is just explaining. We have to go to great extremes as Christians not to sin. If you're looking at something, throw that away. If something is causing you to sin, stop doing it. Be radical about it. Why? Because it'll save your life. Because if you don't, it's going to lead to a lot more suffering. Have you heard this? Marriage, I'm going to bring this up again, is a three-ring circus. First, there is the engagement ring. Second, there is the wedding ring. And third, there is suffering. Well, the suffering is usually due to our own sinful nature that comes from the heart. And if you don't get radical about what you're looking at or what your hand is doing, you're going to have a lot of suffering. You see, God wants us to look at marriage differently. Not to take it lightly, but to take it as a gift from God. Not to take looking at some other person lightly, but to take it very seriously. And if we don't do the radical thing, guess what? It'll lead eventually to divorce. Listen to how Jesus talks about divorce. But I need to kind of let you know how divorce was looked at of that day. There were basically two views on divorce. The first was, for any reason, whatever, a man could divorce a woman. Of course, a woman could never divorce a man during the time of Jesus. So the Pharisees and the scribes are teaching divorce for any reason. As long as you give her a certificate, it's okay. And they verified that by saying, well, didn't Moses give a certificate of divorce and allow that? So we do too. And they were divorcing for any reason. The second view of divorce was only one reason for divorce: marital infidelity or sexual immorality or adultery. Listen to the words of Jesus. It was also said, verse 31, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her her certificate of divorce. Hey, it doesn't matter what the reason is. Give her a certificate. Jesus says, let me clarify it for you. I'm the originator of this. There's only one reason that I'll allow for divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, meaning she's innocent. But you're going to divorce her? You're going to make her break her vows to you? Listen, Jesus takes this serious. Whoever causes one of these, the least of my little ones, to sin, it would be better if a millstone were tied around his neck and he was cast into the depths of the sea. Jesus is saying there is no reason for divorce. You've got to be radical about this. Don't be like the Pharisees and the scribes who accept any reason. No. Marriage, Jesus said, is something what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. Now, of course, no marriage is perfect. No person is perfect. And there's a lot of suffering within marriage. And Jesus is getting to the heart of the issue. You're not taking it serious enough. You might say, if there's a ladder, Jesus moves the sanctity of marriage up 10 steps. And he's saying, this is so important. You see, for Jesus, marriage is something he created, he originated. And the people were making such a mockery of it. He says, you've heard it said, but let me tell you. Your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes who give any reason for divorce, who says, hey, it's okay to look as long as you want. He's really referring to the righteousness of Christ. You see, we all fail. If you're out there and you're married, you know how difficult it can be. The good news is we have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who meets us where we're at. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. This is how Martin Luther explains it. He calls it the wonderful exchange, or the great exchange, some people have called it. It's where our sin is no longer our sin. It is Christ's sin. He takes it upon himself. And he exchanges that with our righteousness. I mean, with his righteousness. Meaning, his righteousness is no longer his, but now it is ours. And it is Christ's righteousness that transforms us and gives us the power to say, hey, I want Jesus to be part of my life. And when you have that faith and that relationship with God, it gives you that strength to be the salt and the light of the world, to make a difference, to stop looking, to be radical about getting things out of your life that are not supposed to be there. In fact, if I can speak to husbands right now, listen to me. You will never be the husband you need to be to your wife until you learn to be a good bride. The church is the bride of Christ. Christ is the groom. Jesus died for the bride and washed her. That bride has to live under the groom in humility, in respect, in honor, and in love. And look to the groom. You see, men, we can't be a good husband until we understand how to be the bride and under the obedience of Christ, the groom. Ladies, it goes the same way. You'll never be the wife you need to be or should be according to God's word until you learn to be the bride of Christ. Put your trust in him. Honor and respect him. And when we love him with all our heart, all in our soul and our mind, we can love our spouse the way we should. You see, marriage is really three bound rings. You know, if you think of the Olympics, five rings bound. Well, marriage is three rings that are bound together. Christ, Adam and Eve, God, man and woman, and what God has joined together, the three becoming one, let no man put asunder. You see, marriage, or let me put it this way, all 10 commandments are like 10 coins, and each commandment has two sides. It's like a coin. There's heads and there's tails. Now, if you took the sixth commandment and had the coin, this is what heads would read. How to have a fulfilling marriage. How to have a marriage that grows. How to be complete, body, mind and soul with another person within marriage. How to be happy and content in marriage. You'd flip that coin over and this is what it would read. Do not commit adultery. And Jesus says, let me carry that a little deeper for you. Watch what you're looking at. Don't be glancing with lustful thoughts. Sexual immorality, the Greek word is pornography. Pornography today is so rampant, it's all over the place. We spend so much time, or people spend so much time looking at it. You got to cut that out. You got to be radical. You need to look at your spouse as a son or that daughter of Christ. Yes, marriage can be rough, it can be tough, but God wants it to be the cream puff of life, something wonderful, something we enjoy. I want you to take this home from this reading. You've heard the saying, looks can be deceiving. Well, we say because skin deep. No, I'm telling you here, Jesus is saying looks can be deceiving, meaning your looks at other people can deceive you that you're not sinning, but you are. Jesus wants marriage to be something fulfilling and wonderful. I got to share with you, this morning I got on the phone and I called a few of the shut-ins that we have, and I was talking to a man in our congregation. Some of you may know him, Larry Wigger, married to Eileen. He's 94, 95 years old, and they've been married 74 to 75 years. I don't know exactly the times or the dates, but I said, how are you doing? Fine. He said, we're just so glad we can be together in our house still at that age. And I said, after a conversation, is there anything I can pray about for you? He goes, yeah. He says, Eileen and I, we're just so glad we can be together. Would you pray that somehow, some way, we can always stay together? And I know it's not our will that is important, but we hope and pray that we can die together. And I thought, wow, what a prayer, what a marriage, what love, what fulfillment these two have had for 75 years. That's God's plan for marriage. Something serious, something wonderful, something's beautiful. Yeah, and we fail. And divorce happens. And that great exchange we can always fall upon. That wonderful exchange. That's why Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. We have that righteousness. It's a gift from God. The great exchange. Our sin for Christ's righteousness. Wow, that's what we fall back on. That's the transforming power that helps us not to fall into the trap of starry eyes, lust, fantasy, heart reality. It's been changed. Thank God for the change in our hearts. It's a resurrection that takes place. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.